Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler. And tonight, I know we made some announcements last week, and unfortunately those have changed a little bit due to some unforeseen circumstances that were out of our hands. But tonight's guest is Mickey Knuckles, who is the Universal Independent Wrestling Women's Champion and defends that title in the main event in a steel cage this Saturday against Pandora. But before we get to that, we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. Josh, I know you've got some stuff on your mind.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit in the news. Before we get to that, I just want to congratulate everybody at Anarchy for a pretty big show there at Hostile Environment. Redler gives reports on your fantastic show. I hope that he calls in so we can talk about that. Because, you know, I like to talk about the positive things in Georgia wrestling, not the negatives, but, you know, we talked about it before, and I knew Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment was going to be a very large task, and it's still alive and well. It's just, I realized, you know, you do two shows, you got to reevaluate. Stuff happened last night at the event. I am no longer working with Roger Davis. I will never, ever, ever, ever work with Roger Davis again. And not to say that I have the power to blackball anybody, but I really don't want any of the workers in Georgia to work for the guy either. I can say he's a nice guy because personally I think he is a nice guy, but professionally and in the wrestling business, he doesn't get it. It boils down to he doesn't get it. He doesn't think large picture. And if you are a professional wrestler and you want to work for a show that's going to be professional, it's not going to be about the promoter, do not work for this guy. Seriously. And if you do work for him, it's going to be very hard for me to ever look at you with the same respect that I might have for you right now. And that's for anybody in the state. That's for anybody outside of Georgia that doesn't even know who he is. Like, it's not that I don't trust anything like that. He doesn't get it. And, Jonathan, you know how I feel about Steve Platinum. And I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. I would rather you work for Steve Platinum every day of your life than ever work for Roger Davis. Because at least Steve Platinum understands the wrestling business. At least Steve Platinum has a wrestling mind. At least Steve Platinum somewhat seems like he cares sometimes. I don't think Roger Davis cares. I think for Roger Davis, it's all about Roger Davis. So he can have his ECW Hollywood. That shit don't fly in my world. I'm doing Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. We're getting some other venues set up. We got some big announcements coming up very, very soon. And, you know, whether people like me or not, it's not the question. I'll go ahead and say it right now. So, you know, top to bottom, I think I got one of the best rosters in the state, if not the Southeast. And you're about to know some of those names in the next 6 months. I'll guarantee that. If you've never heard of some of these guys that are at WWE 4, you're about to. Trust me.
Cool. Well, how was
that's about all I can say without really, like, burying the guy. But when a guy comes to me and tells me we're going to be 50-50 partners, and I'm spending – I'll go ahead and throw it out there. I spent a shitload of money on these two shows. Call me a money mark all you want to. I'm trying to start a goddamn business. But the fact of the matter is this man told me he hung seven posters. Seven posters. Seven posters don't cut it. He was not on the ground floor. He thinks you can get all this stuff off Facebook. I'll go and tell you, I work in social media PR and fucking digital marketing. That's my job. That's what I get paid to do. I know how social media works. I know the strategies that are implemented and all that kind of stuff. If we're drawing 40 people off social media, that's about the most you're going to draw off of just social media, and you see that all around the state. Every show just tries to use Facebook. It does not work like that. You have to use other avenues. And when we were 50-50 partners, that's what we were supposed to be doing. He was going to handle the ground floor of Atlanta because I'm stuck in Tampa for right now, and maybe stuck here for who knows how long. I mean, I live here now. I work here. But I'm just saying, like, we had an agreement, and he didn't follow through on his end. I going back to the first show, again, I'm putting on the bridge of this guy. I know we had other things to talk about. But you go back to the first show, I expressed him one-day shipped 5,000 flyers for him to go to SmackDown when it was at Phyllis Arena and to hand out 5,000 of our flyers to the wrestling fans of Georgia, the WWE fucking marks, and this guy hands out 500, not 5,000, and then he's taking pictures of him at SmackDown. Yo, I'm a SmackDown promoter, motherfucker. Yeah, Hollywood, get it in. Then I find out that he's going to Walmart with his championship belt on. A 40-year-old man going to Walmart with a championship belt on to try to promote. Yeah, that's going to make your show look professional. Thanks a lot, shitbird. And then on another thing, and this is the last one, he put a hit out on me today on Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw the post, but I'll go and tell you right now, I got a screen capture. If I die in the next few days, we know who did it. He put a hit out on me.
I think I did see it earlier today.
With that said, I'm done talking about it. Congratulations to BJ Hancock for winning the Anarchy title. If, like I said, if Larry calls in, I got to ask him some questions about that. I'm excited about Mickey Knuckles. She is probably one of my favorite women wrestlers of all time, and I cannot wait to talk to her. And, you know, hopefully we can get stuff back on a positive note. I went on a tangent there because I'm a little heated because, you know, I went to the show yesterday with good intentions, you know. I had a great business meeting on Saturday night at a place in Atlanta, and, you know, we, like I said, I got some big things about to come down the pike. And then to get the show Sunday and to draw 36 paid, oh, my God, 36 paid, holy cow, I was not happy. Anyone that knows me knows that I have a very short fuse, but I try to keep this professional as possible. I walked the man outside, I asked him what happened, and that's pretty much when he told me that he thought maybe we should split up. I said, you know, let's talk at the end of the show. End of the show, I go outside. He's gone, and I find out he booked a building that he just said he didn't ever want to run again because, in his words, Cox, they just pulled, man. They just pulled. They ain't got a money for us. They can't pull enough $15 tickets. They can't pull $10 tickets. They don't know who Jimmy Ray is. Okay. But then he's going to go and book the venue. Fuck you, Roger Davis. Fuck you. Yeah, I'm talking to you on a blog talk podcast. Instead of you're listening. I can't believe you did this to me. You used me. I spent thousands of dollars to build this thing up, and you used me, and you sat back and you watched the show like a mark. You're a black guy on this business. No, worse yet, these kind of promoters are a cancer on this business. So whether you like me or not, know one thing. I respect this business more than I respect probably anything else in life. This business is going to probably feed me for the rest of my life. So you can hate me all you want to. You can go ahead and write a full disclosure right now about the death of the Hollywood and Wheeler phenomenon, or whatever you want to call it, Steve. Go ahead and get it ready. But I just put you over 5 minutes ago because a few months ago you proved to me you're a bigger man than I'll ever be. Did you send me condolences when my dad died? And I appreciate that, Steve, whether I said it to you or not. And I'm telling Steve Platinum right now, you can say whatever you want to, but I would rather guys work for you than ever work for Roger Davis.
Well, before we segue into more positive stuff, I'm just curious, what does Roger Davis do? What is his day job or whatever?
He is apparently like a truck driver or something in that nature. And see, that's the other thing. Oh, God, I don't want to bear this guy. 3 days before the event, he hits up me and Murder One and some other people and says he wants us to post on Facebook that he was in a horrible truck accident and he's in critical condition and ICU. And he wanted us to put the word out so the fans would come and pay their support to him at the show on Sunday. And I knew right then that this was not going to go well on Sunday, but I tried to fight through it. So this is the guy that's wanting to book you guys. I'm just letting you know what's out there. Just letting you guys know, when he calls you, you know, if you ain't getting paid $100 from him, please, seriously, you know, think about what you're doing. He threatened to kill my security guard last night. He's threatened to kill other workers before. He's always got his nine on him. So I'm just letting you guys know, I mean, he's a little out there.
Well, we have a caller. Let's see who we have. You're on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who's this?
This is Flip Dungaree, and I just want to tell Josh Wheeler right now, get him!
Well, thank you.
And he's gone. I recognize that voice, but I don't recognize the name.
I could go on for 3 hours on this. We could do an entire shoot, but you know what? He's not worth the time or effort. I gave him 10 minutes. I'm done talking about him. Oh, and by the way, when he runs ECWE, we're not promoting his show on this podcast. Bottom freaking line. Because in my world, it's not a wrestling show.
Well, we'll see if it even happens at this rate. I mean, I have had not nearly.
Mark Grayson, if you go work for him, it's going to show what a spineless jellyfish you become, too.
Was he? I know he used to work for ECWE.
Yeah, he used to work at ECWE, and apparently him and Roger had some issues. Then he had some issues with me because I didn't book him, and he stopped even putting over anything around Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment because he's mad at me. But he buried Roger to me for almost 2 hours on a Facebook conversation, and I guarantee you he's going to go back and work for him because that's the type of person he is. And, you know, that's fine. Go get your money. But I thought I'd hire Mark Grayson unless he goes. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Mark's going to go back. I'm just saying I thought a lot higher than Mark, but I know this is his chance to be the booker of a shit show, and that's what everybody's dream is apparently in some parts of the world.
I don't know. Mark Grayson was booking his own show for a while, and it seemed like it was doing okay.
And I think, like, I'm not going to bury Mark, but I like Mark. But when I saw that, I just got a sinking feeling that when you know, a phone call's made, a business arrangement's going to be made, I'm hoping Mark is a bigger man than this and doesn't do it. But, you know, I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it all out there right now before this interview.
All right.
I'm a little heated. The man threatened my life today, Jonathan. I'm sorry.
No, I understand.
He put a hit out on me on Facebook.
Which is not the wisest way to do it.
No, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. then if I even tell you about the message he sent me, I didn't bury him. I was actually totally cool, and then all of a sudden I get a message. Yo, fuck up. I got my goons, you white boy. They don't stand by. And all of a sudden I see he got a hit out on me. Then he sent me a message going, ha, 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 just kidding. No, man, you threatened my life twice.
Didn't he do similar stuff with the Washington Bullets when they...
Yeah, on my podcast, unfortunately.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. He's a podcast killer and he's a show killer.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
He's
got a gun. Was hot. No joke. He's got a gun. We were getting a pretty good amount of listens. It was an entertaining show. We were out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we were totally kayfabing everybody, and everybody's like, oh, these guys are shooting. And we weren't shooting. It's just murder and I just talking. That's what we do. And then all this guy comes on. He's starting to kill people and rape people in the booty. And the next thing you know, nobody listened to our show. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Thanks a lot, this angry wrestling promoter guy. Oh, well. Noah Tall and Roger Davis will have some great conversations on Facebook in the next few weeks. This will be a lot of fun. A fictional guy and Roger Davis having a conversation. Okay, I'm good. Let's do the interview. Is she on yet?
She's not, but...
Ah, damn.
Do we need to give... Well, before we... I think most people probably know who Mickey Knuckles is, but... I just wanted to mention something before I forget. The Luchagors, which is Lita's band, who haven't played in quite a while, are doing what they're advertising as their final show ever on July 31st at the Drunken Unicorn with Casket Creatures, which is one of my favorite local bands. So I just wanted to mention that. It's wrestling-related.
Wrestling-related, but don't go up to Miss Amy and talk to her about wrestling because she hates pro wrestling.
Yeah, she will... Yeah, she would prefer if you talked to her about...
That was literally the first rule I got when I was hired at Project 961 was, hey, Wheeler, we know that you used to work in wrestling. Don't go talk to Amy about wrestling. I said, I'm not a mark. I was in the wrestling business. I could care less about Amy. But that was like the first rule was you can't talk to Amy about wrestling. Okay, I wouldn't talk to anybody about wrestling, you know.
Yeah, so go to the show, but don't ask her about wrestling. Just
nope,
ask her about punk rock.
She'll no-sell you, and she'll punch you in the face. And then she'll moonsault you with her thong out.
Yep. So I was mistaken. I think off the air I told you that Mickey Knuckles had been on the show previously, but I was it was actually the other Smothers' daughter or whatever that
oh,
was.
Oh, Jessie Bell.
No, the other chubby one.
There's three of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't think UIW ever got Jessie Bell. They had.
No, that's the one they were using. Jessie Bell's the redheaded one.
Maybell was the third one.
Okay.
And when the match that I think kind of started this whole thing, it was back in November, I think. I actually went to the show, and it was Maybell and Isabel, which is also known as Mickey Knuckles. They wrestled Nina Monet and Pandora, and it turned into this brawl that spilled outside the ring and left just carnage everywhere. And they've been going back and forth ever since. And I haven't been back out there, so I haven't.
Yeah, because a few months ago was when Mickey and or Isabel and Jessie Bell, which is she's the red-haired one that's been working Southern Pride and other shows.
Yeah,
they worked Nina and Pandora inside a steel cage, and that was the night that the Usual Suspects put Pandora through a table.
Oh, yeah. I saw pictures and heard about that one. But
yes.
Anyway, so tonight, she's billed as Mickey Knuckles now. I don't think it's any secret that they're the same person. So I'm not breaking kayfabe there, but...
everybody understands it. You know, like well, maybe our fans don't, because I don't know how many of the fans on the show actually listen, or not listen, but watch actual wrestling outside of Georgia.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you've never seen Mickey Knuckles, she literally is the baddest bitch in the business. I mean, and I don't say bitch as a derogatory term at this point. I would not cross her in any way, shape, or form, because this woman has went toe-to-toe with Tank. And if you know anything about Tank, he's about 6'3", about 350, and he is one of the hardest-hitting wrestlers in America, Japan, Europe, and everywhere else combined. Tank is a bad, bad, bad mamma jamba, and if a girl could go toe-to-toe with Tank, that's saying something. And she's also been on TNA. I cannot remember the gimmick name in TNA at
Moose
all.
Moose Knuckle.
Was it Moose Knuckle? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of TNA, we got some big news out of their camp last night late.
Well, I heard it was. It hasn't been officially reported from TNA or Spike yet, but it was a.
It's not been.
That's what I heard. I don't know if maybe it since has been.
So TMZ is just running off of potential sources, and that's kind of weird. But believe it or not, TMZ is usually one of the better news outlets.
Yeah, I know. So what? Go ahead and finish. What's the news that is reportedly happening or not happening to TNA?
The news that is being reported, and everybody's talking about it, is that Spike TV has canceled TNA Impact. They will finish out their contract, I guess it ends in October, and then they will be 100% off of Spike TV. As of right now, is what's being reported. So, and then, of course, there's a lot of rumors saying that it's because of their rehiring of Vince Russo and not telling Spike TV. So,
well, it's curious. I wonder if anyone's even interested in TNA. I don't know. Have you watched
the recent
shows?
1.4 million viewers in primetime 9 o'clock on any network is not shabby.
Yeah.
Especially in today's day and age of, you know, not really watching a lot of live TV. And anytime you have, like, a live show or a show that's going to be able to get live tweeting or something like that, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, people talk about it. So 1.4 million viewers is probably closer to around 2 million actual, like, people knowing about the product. Not a bad number. It's half of what WWE does on SmackDown, but no one's really ever, you know, and that, I think sometimes kind of leads to that. So Is the show been tough to watch lately? Yeah, but I'll say that back. The last, like, 6 weeks, I thought it had been very good. So it stinks. You know, I hate when another big company is faced with a roadblock like this, but Dixie has been very, very, very resistant. I mean, this is not the first time they've had a TV deal go sour, and it's not the first time they've had to make some major changes, so.
Well, what do you think their options are? Do you think they might just go back to pay-per-views or just do live shows and DVD sales?
To me, in this day and age, and I thought about this, and God, I could be giving out a business model that I should be doing, but if I was TNA, if I was Dixie, if I was anybody in that company, I would call Netflix tomorrow, and I would say, Netflix, here's what we want to do. We will give you the rights to every single one of our pay-per-views, and we will film our TV shows, and we'll film, like, say they do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday taping. They do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday taping, and they upload it within, like, 2 weeks, those four episodes, and they just keep doing that and just make it a Netflix-only, like, make it literally for Netflix.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, there's obviously a lot of other shows go in that direction. Netflix has how many original shows now?
Oh, God. At least five, I think. Maybe more than that now. I mean, House of Cards nominated for an Emmy, I think, again this year. Orange is the New Black is a pop culture sensation. Lilyhammer is actually a pretty good little TV show. Arrested Development, they brought it back and did help relaunch that altogether. I mean, to me, that's the way that TV is going. I mean, the internet is a thing of beauty as long as it stays net neutral and we can keep using it at high rates of speed. And we want to watch things when we want to watch them. If you got a chance to binge watch four episodes of TNA, why not? And then they can sell a pay-per-view off of those four episodes. You know, there's so many things they could do. Or better yet, I mean, you're not going to be able to create the TNA network because look at the failure WWE's having, but you can work a deal out with Netflix, they get all your pay-per-views. That's just more content for Netflix. And that's not saying Netflix has got to upload them all at one time.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but I'm not in the TNA inner circle, thank God. Because if I was, they would not be doing what they're doing right now. I mean, that's them. I mean, there'd be a lot of changes if I was in the TNA inner circle.
Well, of course, a lot of people are saying that this is the end of TNA if they don't have a TV deal. What do you think the chances are? How interested do you think WWE would be in buying their library?
Right now, not at all.
Especially, I mean, if you consider from what I've heard, how cheap they got the WCW footage. I doubt they would.
Well, and that's the thing about TNA is, like, even without the TV, that footage is worth more money than WWE is going to spend right now. I mean, that's just, like, the WCW deal, that was because it was stockholders. The stockholders just wanted to dump WCW. They wanted off the books. They wanted to divert that Chapter 11 bankruptcy crap they were about to go through. They wanted to divert that debt into other areas. TNA is a private company. Bob Carter is not going to let that footage go for just nothing.
Yeah.
Because Bob Carter and Dixie Carter, like I said, even if they can never run another live show, that footage is still valuable to a Netflix or a Hulu or a Crackle or a Vimeo or even a YouTube. That footage has still got value. 12 years of wrestling pay-per-views is no joke.
Yeah.
And those first 5 or 6 years were actually pretty good product. It was a very good product, actually. I remember watching some of the first the $10 pay-per-views and absolutely loved it. I thought it was some of the best stuff I've seen in years. And that's where, like, to me, when people are like, oh, the six-sided ring. No. TNA was not using a six-sided ring for the first 4 years of that company, and they were just fine. Maybe the first 3 years of that company. You get what I'm saying, but yeah.
Yeah.
So... That's just my opinion.
Well,
and another part of that is that before we put the interview, let's not forget WWE is being faced with a major class action lawsuit for lying to stockholders. So they got their own things they got to worry about.
Right.
They need to take care of their house and not worry about TNA's house. And same thing with Ring of Honor. I'm hearing rumors that Sinclair Broadcasting is ready to dump them. Jim Ross is even reporting on his blog, so that means there's probably a little bit of validity to that. So, you know, it's a scary time for the main companies right now.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out and how it affects the independent scene.
To me, it can only help the indies, because what it's going to do is it's going to create, you know, it'll have a better talent pool, but people feel like wrestling. I mean, it's like I've said for years, I mean, 20,000 people go to Raw at least two times a year when it's in Atlanta. Where are those 20,000 people at when Raw's not on?
They're not at
that's
the
what
indie
we have
shows.
To find. They're not at indie shows, and that's where, like, to me, that's where, like, I, you know, and it's not just my company. Like, I want them to go check out Rossville and, you know, the Empire shows in Rossville. I want them to check out Anarchy. I want them to check out my product. I want them to check out the good products. There's some good shows in Georgia. There's some really bad shows in Georgia. There's some good shows in Georgia. There's a great talent. I mean, there's some unbelievable good talent. I've said it a million times. I'll put Chip Day, Jimmy Rave, and Kyle Matthews and some of the other guys, you know, I'll put them up against Trent Beretta or Chris Hero or any of these other indie guys any day of the week, and I think they can hold their own just as easily. So, that's just my opinion. So, is she on yet?
No, I'm trying to, I'm messaging Stan, and he's texting her, so
gotcha.
We're working on it. I messaged with her earlier today, so she confirmed that she was calling, so I'm not sure what...
The joys of the live podcast.
Yeah. I have found that sometimes is a hindrance, when because most podcasts are recorded ahead of time and then uploaded or whatever.
You just cut this filler out. You just take the audio, delete this part of the little thing here. It's funny, I did a blog talk show a few months ago. It was when we were doing Pro Wrestling Dead, we were trying to get it off the ground. And we were trying to call Rip Rogers, who was our guest, and it just kept going, this number you have dialed is no longer in service. And we're like, I just talked to him this morning. Like, what the heck? So finally, it was something to do with blog talk. It's a funny story. We finally got Rip Rogers on, and one of the best interviews I've ever had wrestling-wise. Yeah, you know what? That's the guy we should get on. Rip Rogers, you know, him and I talk on Twitter all the time. If you ever want to get Rip Rogers on, he's a good one to talk to.
Sounds good to me. What's
the
status?
Gabe Sapolsky never hit me back up, so.
Yeah, so I was about to ask. So we need to find a different guest for next week, you think?
Yeah, I'll be back in the office tomorrow. I'll send out some emails and some feelers and some text messages and see if we can get at least somebody from the Evolve shows. Just because, like I said, you know, it's a great show. You can watch WWEinLive.com. A lot of unique things they do. And, I mean, this weekend, I mean, you know, great indie shows all around. I mean, Beyond Wrestling had the American Rana event up in Rhode Island featuring Trigger Duggerton, some of the Georgia guys that I know traveled there to work for Beyond. There was a huge show. It was PWG's 11th anniversary. Kevin Steen's last appearance in the promotion he helped build. And apparently it was another standing room only, 400-plus people in that little center out there in L.A. So the indies are on fire right now in certain parts of America.
Yeah, I ran into Danny Only at a show at the Masquerade the other night, and he told me he was heading up to Beyond, I think the next day.
Okay.
So I don't know if he was wrestling, because he said his foot is still hurting, and he said he'll be back in the ring in Georgia in about 3 weeks, I think. So
that,
I don't
that,
know if
that
he...
is what I'm hearing. So we are looking forward as soon as I get some. The date's confirmed for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. I know we've talked to Danny and we're looking forward to bringing him in and when he's healthy. And we're just waiting on that doctor's note. As soon as we see that doctor's note, we're going to start fizzling him in. So.
And it looked like
I know Anarchy will fizzle him in too. And
yeah.
So.
And APW probably.
And you know what? I need to talk about this. Bigwood had another good show the other night. the SCW is one of those unique promotions where, you know, there's not really like storylines per se, but they do good business and people come out of their shows and they have some quality matches. So you give a shout out to the shows doing good business and also drawing a little bit of a crowd. So
that's good to hear. I haven't heard much from the SCW. I mean,
his talent roster is I wouldn't say it's depleted. It's just he's going with a little bit more of the local guys in his area, some of the younger guys, and you know they're drawing and doing good stuff, and the crowd seems to enjoy it. You know, kind of similar to what Empire up in Rockville is doing, but you know, and that's the only like those two shows, North Georgia area. I mean, they're really starting to heat up and make some traction.
Well, we can confirm on the 11th of August, Bullet Club member, and I believe, is he one of the tag champions in IWGP, Luke Gallows?
Last time I checked, Luke Gallows is part of the tag team champions with the Bullet Club with the Machine Gun Carl Anderson. And as a matter of fact, last time I checked New Japan's titles, I believe the Bullet Club has every major championship in New Japan except for the junior heavyweight title, which is currently held by Ibushi, I believe, and he just he was injured a few weeks ago. And then I think last night or this morning when they were doing the G1 climax again, I love New Japan wrestling, I throw them all day. I don't have an official what happened, but I heard that Tanahashi was injured at the event. And if you've never seen Hiroshi Tanahashi, you're wasting your time not finding out about him.
Well, Luke Gallows will actually be flying back into the country on the 11th, and then he's calling into our show later that night. He's got a show in Jackson.
He's going to jet lag like a mofo.
Yeah. But he's doing, I think it's called WrestleMerica.
Yeah, he's actually running his own promotion up there in Jackson, which is, I guess, his hometown or close to where he lives. And
yeah.
You know, he's got him and his wife Amber, and I think Caleb Conley, I think, was advertising the show, and Amanda Rodriguez, who's a nice female competitor up in the Carolina area, is just getting out a little bit more with Amber, and of course the Nature Boy Paul Lee. So that'll be an interesting show to see. Oh, did anybody have a report on Ron Gossett's show this past week?
On which show?
Ron Gossett ran Thursday night. Did anybody have any?
Oh no, I wasn't able to go. I haven't heard anything about it.
I just want to make sure everybody got paid. Da-da-da-da. No, that's a mean joke.
Well, he does have a reputation.
Yeah, he definitely has it. So. Man, there was a lot of shows. I just realized there's so many shows last week.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear how that one went and if they have another show coming up, or if this was their...
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What is First Class Championship Wrestling?
They do have another... They have... Universal Championship Wrestling has a show advertised for August 23rd. The poster has Kevin Nash, Hernandez, Buff Bagwell, Johnny Swinger, and... I can't remember the guy's name. He was in TNA, gut check winner, I think, and he had like...
Wes Briscoe?
York. No, York. What was that
Christian
guy's
York.
Name? Yeah.
Christian
I think
York,
that's Chris...
yeah.
It looks like him. So what were you asking me? What is First Class?
I saw a post the other day. It's called First Class Championship Wrestling. They're running somewhere, I think, Covington or Conyers or something, and... The show is just stacked full of names, just names, names, names. And I was like, whose is this?
I haven't heard of that one.
So, yeah,
well,
I saw it the other day. I mean, it was insane how many names were on the show. It was like the entire roster was like all WWE guys, like ex-WWE guys, like, as you know, recently fired. I think Brodus Clay was on the poster, Percy Watson. There was like tons of guys on the poster. So.
Hmm. I'll do some research and see if I can find out more about that. But in the meantime, I believe we are now being joined by Mickey Knuckles.
Oh,
and
right,
I failed to get entrance music this week. So, actually, what do you usually use for entrance music?
Or I use a variety of things. It all depends on what different voices are speaking out that day.
In other words, Jonathan, she could come out with no music and still beat your ass.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
I don't know about right now, though. I'm a little under the weather.
So I gotta ask you about the ankle injury. I heard you hurt your ankle about 8 weeks ago?
I broke it.
Yeah, you broke it. So how's it doing? How's it healing up? And
It still hasn't healed completely, and then the doctors believe I re-tore the ligament.
Ooh. And you're resting on that?
Yes, sir.
And this is why she's the toughest woman in America.
Nah, I'm just dumb.
So this Saturday, you will be facing Pandora. You're very familiar with her. So I have to ask you, she is considered the standard bearer of Georgia professional wrestling for women. And I want your take as Mickey Knuckles, a legend. How good is she?
She's only as good as she allows herself to be in the little bubble.
Wow.
That makes sense.
That makes perfect sense, because I think I said something very similar.
What do you mean by the bubble?
The bubble. The bubble is how big and extensive of a circle that you allow yourself to be in. Georgia Wrestling, I've not ran into very many female wrestlers down there. Therefore, my perception of it is that you're only as good as you surround yourself by. If you constantly surround yourself by people who are mediocre or okay, then, you know, you're going to be the cream of the crop of the mediocre or okay. If you put yourself in the mix with people who are the elite and you can run with them, then you're going to be among the elite. It's not a dig at her, and it by any means.
Oh, no, I didn't think it was a dig at all. I think you hit the nail right on the head, and I think that's why, like, I love seeing you coming in. I love seeing Jesse Bell coming in. I love the fact that Amber O'Neill's now, you know, living a little bit closer, because it's good to see more women's wrestling.
She's
right now, go ahead,
well, she's a tough broad. I'll give her that. She is a very tough broad. And I hope that she gets to venture outside of Georgia and get some worldly experience, you know, go overseas or go further up north in the States and try to do it that way, because she definitely can handle the pain. Now, whether she does that or whether that becomes available to her, that's all dependent on what she wants to do with wrestling as part of being her life.
Right. Now, like you just said, you know, venture out of the comfort zone. Women's wrestling might be the hottest thing in the independents right now in a lot of areas. I live in Tampa, so I see a lot of the Shawnee events, and I know Shimmer does great business. I know you've worked a lot with WSU and some of those shows up there. AIW's been doing their Girls Night, I think it's Girls Night Dallas or something like that. I can't remember the exact name of it. And now even like High Spots Events women's shows. You've been in the business for over a decade, so what are your thoughts about some of these all-women shows and is this the future? I mean, is this the future? Is this a viable way that women can actually legitimately make a living in this business without just being an attraction but being the show?
I think the only way women can make a living at it in this business is if we get rid of the whores and the rats. You want my honest opinion?
No, I want to.
I was just told the other day about some girl being in the locker room here around the Southern Indiana area, claiming she's going to be the next best female wrestler, yet she's getting naked and asking which one of the boys is first and being a rat. And if that's what this profession is coming to, I'm very, very, very scared. Now, if you can show me another up-and-coming Lefisto, so Sarah Del Rey, Mischief, Daisy Hayes, Rain, if you can show me those girls who have the heart, who aren't going to sleep their way to the top, that are going to work hard to get to the top, then I'm a little rest assured that maybe the business is heading in the right direction. However, I think it's time the vets start taking back over and getting rid of some people that don't deserve to be here.
Is there anybody in particular that you think doesn't really deserve to be in without, like, killing too many people?
The problem is there's so many of them to name them off individually, we're going to have to
have
about 2.5 hours, and I'm going to have the internet in front of me so I could talk to all the girls and say, hey, what's the name of that one rat? But
wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. You've got girls that will send naked pictures to a promoter just to get a booking. You've got girls that will, you know, if they can't get to the promoter, then they'll hit on the promoter's wives. And it's bad. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. It's really bad.
Well, you get on the boy side, too, unfortunately.
Oh, no, the problem with the guys is that among the girls doing the same thing of going to work and just for $20, the guys
right.
are shortchanging themselves as well, and it's hurting the veterans. It's hurting the people because they don't know their own worth. So they're. I'm not saying go out and rape a promoter on your price. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is know your worth. So it's a fair trade from all sides. So that way you're not taking a job for somebody else that's just as worthy. Because if you think about it this way, you call one guy who's a decent worker, and you say, hey, how much to come in? They give you a price, and the price, you know, is relatively up there, but it's not too bad. Then you call another guy who is a less than decent worker, and you ask him for his. From a business standpoint, when that guy gives you a price of $10, $15, $20, you're going to go with the guy that's less mediocre. And therefore, when you bring him to the shows.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, therefore, when you bring him to the shows, people are seeing that as professional wrestling, and he's going to mess up because he's green. And I'm not saying greenhorn shouldn't take bookings. That's not what I'm saying. However, I am saying that the ones that have been in the business long enough, the ones that have earned the right to make money in this business, need
right.
to start reevaluating what their worth is about.
Right. Now, you've been up in the Ohio Valley area for many years. You've been around Rip Rogers. I've talked to that man for almost a year now, and one of the first things he ever said to me when we got on the phone was, green plus green don't equal green, and that's pretty much what you just said. Tell us a little bit about like, your Ohio Valley experience and how it's been working in that area, and, of course, IWA, where you pretty much started.
I was very spoiled with IWA when I first started. When I started, IWA was just coming into its rise. And I was training 5 days a week with different trainers. I mean, I had a plethora of trainers from, you know, Bullpen and Tracy Smothers, you know, doing the training seminars with Two Gold Scorpio, CM Punk coming in when he was in town and helping out, Chris Hero and Mark Wolf doing it, Ian, you know, doing. At one point in time, I was training 5 days a week. I was wrestling or doing refereeing or whatever I had to do on the 6th day and the 7th day I was cleaning. I was incredibly spoiled, but it was incredibly hard. And that's the only reason I think I turned out the way that I did and why I have an outlook on things. I'm at that stage now. All wrestlers go through stages. They go through the hopeful stage of, oh, we're going to get a contract, to the stage of, well, we're never going to get a contract, but we're going to be happy with this, to the bitter veteran. There's a multitude of stages everybody goes to. And right now I'm at a stage of, you know, I know my place. My place is I wrestle. I've tried to quit several times right now. I like wrestling in front of people that enjoy my wrestling. I like having fun and being able to character-wise exert myself and bring home money to my daughter, because my daughter is the end-all be-all to me. However, it's just, I guess the way that I was trained in the mid-south area, and the way that people are being trained now, as far as, you know, oh, well, you can train, pay me $2,000. Yeah, I've never made a dime in this business, but you'll go far, kid. Let me take your money, tell everybody you're trained. You don't even know how to take a headlock. That's okay. I mean, that it's evolved to that, and it's very sad. I've never met Rip Rogers. I've always heard of him. I never came face-to-face with him. I know of him, and I know his work and his training skills, because I hear it all the time how he used to train, especially when I worked at OVW. And I think if it wasn't for him holding on so long to train people, that it would be, I don't know, it would be a lot worse than it is in the area. When IWA ceased to have a school down here, maybe that hurt too. But now, you've got Joe Blow starting up a wrestling school that's never done anything a day in their life, who's probably been wrestling 3 minutes and it sucks.
Right.
Like, I think those people need to be kicked in the face as hard as possible.
Amen. John, did you have anything?
Yeah, you mentioned when Josh asked about Pandora, you said you hadn't encountered, I forget how you phrased it, but you made reference to the female wrestlers you've encountered in Georgia. Who else have you wrestled in Georgia aside from Pandora?
That's just it. I haven't. Pandora is the first and only female that I've ever encountered from Georgia that, you know, says that they were trained in Georgia. And I very rarely see women on cards down in Georgia from that area. That's why that I'm saying that maybe I know she wrestles guys. And that's a good start. That's how actually I started, because there wasn't a lot of girls at the time that Ian was bringing in. So she's doing a good start there to where she's at least wrestling men, and wrestling men and wrestling women are two totally different entities. With that being said, the reason why I think that she's not advanced as far as she thinks she needs to advance or as other people think she needs to advance is the fact that the state of Georgia in that area, the southern states like that, because there's no longer territories, she's not getting seen, she's not getting the exposure to people. Like, in my opinion, the best women's wrestler in the U.S. right now is Sarah Del Rey, hands down. She's never been able to be experience what it's like being in the ring with somebody at Sarah Del Rey's level. And I was always trained and I was always taught, in order to be better, you've got to be in the ring with better. Like you said, green plus green doesn't equal green. That's completely true. When you go blindly in the blind, the blind's just going to keep running into walls. They're not going to advance to the next stage. And that's what I mean. Pandora's got, you know, progressive properties. What she doesn't have is the ability to have somebody right there to advance her to that next stage. And she's got to hurry quit, because we all know everybody's got a timeline on how long their body can do this, or, you know, how long physically or mentally that you can mainstay in this business. I don't know what hers is. Nobody knows what anybody else's is. But she needs to hurry and get on the ball about that if she's going to try to go northern with it. Or if she's completely happy just wrestling, say, as Georgia, then that's completely fine too.
Haven't you also worked with Nina Monet a little bit? Her tag team partner?
I worked with her in a tag. I didn't get to work with her on one-on-one. And I didn't get a chance to evaluate. I know that there were some issues between her and Nina. There was constantly the fighting back and forth between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that when you despise somebody as much as them two did not like each other, that you're not going to take anything that the other person does and learn from it. It's basically you're going to say, well, fuck you, and then walk away from each other. And when you can't have somebody to learn from or to learn with, it makes it that much harder on you. Like I said, I've never wrestled Nina one-on-one. When I wrestled even with Pandora, the first time it was still in a tag match. And then the second time I was still in the tag match, I don't think I wrestled her one-on-one until the third time, and I really got to assess her. Just because you can tell when a tag team partners can't get along, you can physically tell in the ring they can't get along.
Right.
And it takes attention away from each one, either or. And so I didn't get to fairly assess Pandora until the first actual match where I had one-on-one with her.
You've been working with her you've been working with Pandora for a few months now. Have you seen any improvement or progression on her part?
Yeah.
And
she's gotten more comfortable. The first time I worked with her, it's funny, she broke out in hives and blotches because she was scared I was going to beat the hell out of her. It made me laugh because I told her, I was like, it's far thing from the truth. It's going to be fine. We're going to have a decent match. Da-da-da. And then that first match, you can just tell, like, there are some things that I would go do, and she'd be like, oh, is this the moment that Mickey just flips out and beats the fuck out of me? And that's not it at all. And then the second, like, this this last match per se. She was more confident in herself. She had more fun. It wasn't, you know, as much nervousness in the locker room of talking about what's going to happen. It was, let's let this go and see where this story leads us. And that's you know, the beauty of wrestling. And, like, she's progressed from being, you know, inside this nutshell until coming out of her shell.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you pretty much started working men, and other than the IWA area, you guys had to do a lot of death matches. What's it like being a female in a death match tournament with mostly men? Like what is that really like, and what goes through your mind when you're like, I'm about to do some crazy shit?
I'm Irish, Italian, Native American, Indian. That's three bloodlines that I'm pretty much screwed on the genetic pool. The only thing that I have going for me is I have an incredibly high pain tolerance. With that being said, when I first started doing death matches, my trainers didn't want me to do death matches. Quite the opposite. They threatened me if I did a death match. They were dead set against it, but I knew I had to make myself a commodity. And so when I started... Hello. Sorry, my daughter just came in the room. Hey, baby. When I started doing death matches, especially against men, there was not a lot of females doing it. There was a woman named by Delilah Starr who did death matches in IWA before I did, and she was just total badass, excuse my language. She had six kids, something like that, naturally. And this woman was outright crazy. She fought Corporal Robinson at his prime. And I've heard stories of Corporal punching people in the face and legit knocking them out, and I'm talking about like 400-pound men. And so when I first started death matches, I went to her and said, you know, how do I do this? How can I be like you? And she said, darling, don't be like me. Be better than me. And I didn't quite understand what it means, and now I get it because I tell people the same thing now. Deathmatch wrestling is an art form, just like regular wrestling, technical wrestling, mat wrestling, anything. And so when you're doing a deathmatch wrestling, you have a higher risk, you have a higher potential to do some real damage to yourself, to your opponent. And with facing men, you take that risk up the next notch because – guys, we all know, young guys get crazy from time to time because they think, oh, well, I'm invincible. Everybody's got that invincibility meter right when they're in their early 20s that nothing can hurt them. It wasn't scary because I wasn't smart enough to pick up on the scary. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Now,
it was difficult. It was difficult, and it was the pain was incredible. But in all honesty, too, now I think about it, I've never been hurt during a death match. I've always been hurt during a regular match, and that's funny to say because I've never gotten hurt during a death match, never, and never had to go to the hospital. Now I've gotten cut open, I've had to glue the cuts, you know, and things like that. I've been sore and bumps and bruises and pinholes from the thumbtacks and. But I've never had to go to the hospital from a death match. I've always, if I had to go to the hospital, it was from a regular match.
Now, not to keep harping on the death matches, but you are wearing a cage match. Do you feel that there's like a too much reliance on the gimmick match now in just wrestling in general?
I think a lot of promoters will find a kid that will do matches like the cage match, the bull rope match, the dog collar match, matches like that, and they'll go ahead and jump to it without having any storyline or any build-up to it. And it's an overuse of the match. You got to think back in the days of, you know, the Ox Harleys and all that, that they used to use those matches as blow-off matches.
Yep.
That was a big build-up. You know, you didn't do that. You didn't do those matches, you know, to draw fans in. The fans would come because of that story. The blow-off was that match. That was the end-all, be-all. You know, whatever happened. It stayed right there in that ring, da-da-da. People now use it as an advancement. They'll have them do a multitude of matches, whether it be, you know, dog collar match, first blood match, K-Fizz match. I mean, there's like a plethora of what they will let them do before they get to the blow-off match. And it's almost getting so ridiculous now with hardcore wrestling, the only thing left to do is shoot somebody.
Yes, that's so true.
And people just need to stop and take a step back because, you know, let's take Hayabusa, for example, right? Brilliant talent. What's he doing now?
He cannot walk.
Okay, then. Think about it that way. He kept trying to one-up himself, not because, you know, his pride or anything, but that's because he was great at what he did. But even somebody so great like that can end up in a wheelchair. You have to reassess what your own body's limits is. And I know it's funny coming from a girl that's wrestled now twice with broken legs, but there's a reason I don't dive anymore. I know my limitations. I was not meant to fly. White girls can't jump anyway, so why did I think I could? I have no idea. But you know, everybody has to know their limitations. Everybody needs to look at the goal at the end of the tunnel and say, okay, you know, this guy can do a 450, and this guy can do a planche, and this guy can do a moonsault. It's now getting to be where everybody can do this, or this guy can, you know, take a weed eater to the chest, and this guy can take syringe needles to the feet. You don't have to constantly one-up somebody. If that's somebody's gimmick, let it be their gimmick. But by God, just protect yourselves, because at the end of the day, you still have to go home to whatever family you have, whether it's a girlfriend, a wife, kids, husband, anything of that nature. It is your responsibility to go home to them. You have to protect yourself, your future, your kids' future, your family's future. Otherwise, you're going to probably be a next Hayabusa stuck in that wheelchair.
That's a very scary thought, but it's so true. And that's something we've talked about on this show forever. And the reason I ask is because here you are coming to Georgia for the third, fourth time, and it's your second cage match. It's like, technically, I guess the feud started in a cage because that was the night that you guys, you know, beat down Nina and Pandora, and of course Murder won, and AJ did the thing at the end of the match. And
yeah.
Then you guys had one singles match where you get the title, and now you're going to do the cage match on Saturday. So.
It's definitely not the route I would have taken, but
right.
You have to think too. I am a Memphis mark. I love Memphis wrestling. Andy Kaufman versus Jerry Lawler is still my favorite storyline of all time.
It is my second favorite. So there you go.
And I love the Memphis style, and that's where I associate a lot of these things with, because you know. Memphis style wrestling is becoming a lost art form. Just the other day, I was explaining to a promoter. I had taken a couple kids with me to a show, and I was explaining to a promoter that they were Memphis style wrestlers. They were more of the storytelling, the character feature, everything else. And literally, he looked at me and said, "I don't know what a Memphis style wrestler is. How can you be a promoter if you don't know Memphis?" So I had to further explain what a Memphis style was, and it broke my heart a little bit, because these are the people who are booking your shows. These are the people that are putting their money into it, that are saying, okay, fans are going to come see you. Inevitably, these are the people who control the business of the independent wrestler. And for them not to know what a Memphis style is, or to see the Memphis style and see it as being lazy rather than what it really truly is heartbreaking to me. And so I think when I went to work in Georgia, I was hoping for more of a Memphis Southern style wrestling. And granted, they're not doing a horrible job down there. They're not. It's just not the route I would have gone with this. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not the end-all, be-all pro wrestling. I don't claim to know it all. And I will never stop learning as long as I'm in this business, however long it's going to be. However, you know, I'm a very opinionated person. I'm a very blunt and honest person. And honestly, that's not the route I would have taken. But that's where we are. You make the best of any situation. It's not a bad situation. Trust me, I've been in matches where they're like, no, we want you to go out there and use this dildo. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, this is the first time I'm wrestling this girl. I guess I'm using this dildo. Or, you know, at least they built it up to the second match of the cage when the first match wasn't a gimmick match between me and a girl for no reason. I've done that before it was a guy, actually, where I show up and they're like, oh, well, we know you all have never worked here before, or you all never worked, period. We're going to do a best 2 out of 3 falls. And I'm like, what? Okay, that makes perfect sense. So, that's what I mean. I miss the days of the storyline and the days of the build-up and the days of the good guy versus bad guy and you know, that. I miss that. And I wish that, you know, there'd be more promoters like back in the days of the territories that would be smart enough to do that and to work with other promoters and other territories. I really wish territories would come back, to tell you the truth.
Yes. The amen, amen, amen. That's what I've been preaching for like 3 months is, you know, let's work together. You can have your little area, I have mine. Let's trade talent, whatever. Like, the word ego has destroyed the business.
It is. It's ego and it's pride.
Yeah.
Man has committed a sin and allowed their pride to take over their own world. And with that, they've lost a lot of good that is about wrestling. Now it's about drama, politics. I mean, not to say that politics hasn't always been there, but now politics is more prevalent because you got the he said, she said, oh, she's not happy, so she's going to run to a promoter and cry about it. He's not happy,
yep.
So he's going to go to so-and-so and complain about it and yada, yada, yada. That's where it's at now. So, I don't know.
No, I mean, seriously, we need to get like a 5-hour shoot video of you just talking about stuff.
Oh, honey, you're following me longer than that.
Jonathan, you got anything else, Jonathan?
I don't, except for, you know, do you want to talk a little bit more about the match coming up this Saturday and what people should expect from that?
You're going to have to expect the brutality, Emmy. I've never been one to slack off, even with a broken leg. So it's inside of a cage, and I am a little crazy. I have toes to prove it. So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be brutal. I'm also going to bring down somebody, another wrestler per se, whose character I think would benefit in that company, and I hope you all, you know, enjoy his work. I enjoy his work, and I think he's going to be a decent guy on the indies. So he's coming with me. He's one of my trainees. And
what's his name?
Zodiac.
What's his name?
Zodiac.
Oh, Zodiac. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then
I will
of course,
start studying up on him.
And then, of course, my fiancé is coming down with me, and he's a wrestler, and his name is Sweet Jimmy Long. Yes, yes, it's all fun and gimmicks. So it is what it is, and we're all going to have some fun. And actually, next this Saturday is my 12-year birthday in this business. So I trained for about 2 years, and then I got into the business. So, but technically, it's my 12-year birthday, so I'm going to have to go a little crazy for my birthday, and I get to have beers afterwards, so that's good.
You mentioned that Zodiac's a trainee of yours. Do you have your own school, or do you train people in your area a lot, or do you just have a select few?
I try not to train people because I don't think I'm advanced enough to train people. However, when I meet somebody that has a lot of good heart and a lot of good aspirations about them, even though they've been trained by others, I try to take them under and take them with me and teach them what I can. There's a team by the name, and I know you all are gonna know who this is probably, but their name is Team IOU.
They are fantastic.
Yes, but I love those kids. And I call them kids because they're way younger than me, and I feel old now. but those are the boys that I'm hoping that will bring this out of a rut because, you know, they're very Memphis style. They listen really well. Just from being on the road with them the first week or two, Kerry advanced so much with his striking ability. Nikki advanced as well. It's a great dynamic between the two of them. It's not what you see now with wrestling. With tag teams in wrestling now, you see, hold on a second. Hold on. What? Oh, you almost ran into the wall. What's up? You see, you know, two flippity-floppity guys or two great big guys that want to go. You don't see the dynamic of the big guy, the little guy anymore. You know, you don't see the dynamic of how you play off each other. The brothers, so to speak. And the dog and boy wonder gimmick is just incredible to watch. It's hysterical. They make it work, both heel and baby. Same thing with Zodiac. Zodiac could be both heel and baby. He's a mask character. Sonny, and he's just absolutely a big guy. Sorry, my daughter. Hold on. You have to say hi now.
Ready to say hi?
Hold on. Say hi.
Hi.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
It's time for my bedtime, and now I'm going to bug Mommy until we get to go to bed. He's my darling. But we got it'll be fun this weekend. Definitely everybody should come out and see it. Probably be my last time in Georgia for a little while until the next title event. Or if I lose the title, probably for a long time. So.
All right, well, it sounds like
hopefully we can get you back in Georgia because I'm looking at doing something with some women's wrestling with my promotion. So, and Murder One and I have been huge fans of yours forever. So we'll be in touch if you trust me in the near future. I will have Murder One probably call you in the next 2 weeks.
All right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling. Did you have anything else, Josh?
That's it. I think that she said everything that needed to be said and then some, and I would love to have her again, you know, when I'm not on the road and, you know, driving back, so.
All right. Sounds wonderful. I can't wait to be back on, and if you want to, go look me up at Mickey Moose Knuckles on Facebook.
I just liked your page yesterday. Actually, just Stan invited me, so Stan Robinson, congratulations for doing your job.
No, Stan's a good guy. I like working for Stan.
No, I love Stan. Stan is young in the business, but he's been in the business his entire life, and
he's willing to learn too.
Exactly, and that's why
he's
love him.
He's not one of those promoters that think that he knows it all, so or one of those bookers that thinks, you know, this is it and this is how you're going to do it. Stan's good people. He's
no,
never
I
treated
love
me
Stan.
Wrong, and trust me, I've been around some crooked, shady promoters.
There's a ton out there.
There are. So you all have a nice night.
All right,
you
too. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. No problem. Bye.
All right, so let's see. What's
fantastic
this...
energy. Another
it
classic.
Was. And it was funny to hear. Funny to hear her go from, I mean, not that she was like in gimmick really, but funny to hear her turn into a mom.
Yes, that was unique. You know, it's like you listen to like one of the toughest women in the world, and then all of a sudden she's like, sweet mom.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Is that the first time you ever had someone actually bring their daughter on the show?
Probably. I can't. Nothing else is coming to mind. I found the First Class Championship Wrestling. It actually has its own website, so that should make
nice.
You happy. FCCW Live. FCCWLive.com. And it has a very Ron Gossett look and feel to it. So I don't know if he's involved with that or what. I mean, even like
I don't
the,
know.
The
maybe,
UCW.
Maybe he's realized that he can't, you know, maybe if he changes the brand name and the wrapping on the paper, he can make some more money. And I don't know. There's no telling that guy. I'm not going to lie. He's
well,
a character.
Anyway, yeah, you were right about the poster. It has Michael Tarver, Hurricane Helms, Mason Ryan, Brodus Clay, Micah and Tracy Taylor, Lance Hoyt. The show's August 30th at the Georgia International Horse Park in Conyers. So perhaps we
and
will.
That's that's been a great venue for Georgia wrestling for many, many years in the past. So, you know, whoever's running it, I wish you the best of luck because you spend a ton of money on it. So,
who else is running that in the horse park?
The horse park was ran a lot in the early 90s, but do not quote me on what the promoter's name was. It may have been Sandy Kent's promotion, but I don't remember. Uncle Ben Masters would probably be able to give you a better of that. Or Rich Tate, actually, you know, maybe we get Rich Tate on, and he can tell you every promoter and every booker that place ever had. But I know it was ran for many, many years in like the early to mid 90s, so.
All right.
And
you can
draw
very,
very well, too. So,
let's see what's coming up this weekend. I'm looking at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. Not a lot, it looks like. Empire's running again. Flatline Pro Wrestling is in Grovetown on Saturday, which looks like a good show. The Fireman's a champion there, it looks like.
Yeah, Flatline's doing some solid business, too. It's another one of, like, smaller, like, developmental shows down the, I guess, Augusta area.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, a lot of good talent works it. I know, like you said, Fireman, Tommy Pinarelli, I think, does a few shows there. Anthony Henry's in and out of there. Kevin Blue and Chris Spectra and Brendan Parker, Ken Lee. Ken Lee's going to be fantastic in about 2 years. Trust me on that one. So, yeah, they got a nice little nucleus of young guys. They got a great setup. I don't know if you've ever seen their video. They got a great setup.
I haven't. Do they have a YouTube channel or something?
They posted a video the other day. It might have been through YouTube, but they got like a pretty much like a little like Titantron. It's real cool looking. I mean, it's definitely one of the better setups I've seen in a long time.
I'll check that out. We have yet to mention our sponsor, and I think we're still supposed to be doing that.
Crap. Yes. I'm actually driving. It's funny you said that because I was actually using Audible.com as I was driving on this road trip from Tampa. I was listening to Joan Rivers' book. Of course, there's 150,000 titles available on Audible.com, and you can get a 30-day free trial by using audibletrial.com/GWH. Is it? I don't have my notes with me, John, so help me here. Is it GWH Radio? GWH Radio, I believe. So we appreciate Audible.com for sponsoring us. And I'm sorry I missed that sponsor because I was in a bad mood when we started the show. Now I'm in a good mood. And
well,
as soon as I
get
the phone, I'm getting back on Audible. So there you go.
That's a good way to end.
You get on Audible too. Yes.
Yeah, I hear Audible sponsoring all kinds of wrestling podcasts. So I will eventually probably check it out.
Audible is a very cool concept, and actually, it's interesting because I just saw that Amazon, which owns Audible, and I'm not sure if they're your sponsor. Amazon's doing a whole new thing that they're about to start. I think like $9.99 unlimited books and audiobooks, I believe. So it might be part of Audible might just go blanket under that. But so I'm not trying to give you two things to buy, but I love reading. I can read all day long. And if there's like a way to get like a Netflix for books, I'm there, especially when I get wrestling books too. So,
absolutely. So I guess we will be announcing next week's guest in the next
hopefully
few days.
I'll be announcing it maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm going to try to get some confirmation, like something big and some confirmation, and we'll go from there.
All right. But
like I
said earlier,
unfortunately, we may not be able to get Gabe Spolsky because I never heard back from him after the third email, which was actually partially my fault because I didn't email him when I said I was going to. And I will reach out to some people of mine in Florida, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, just pay attention to social media and wrestlingwithpopculture.com, which, by the way, you can read my Hercules review. And then I realized two consecutive weekends have major movies starring pro wrestlers in them coming out. Hercules came out on Friday.
Oh, yes, that is right. Yeah.
And I already saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and Batista does a great job in it. I was actually surprised. I haven't seen I don't think I've seen any of the other movies he's been in, but I think he's kind of played minor roles up to this point. But, I mean, he was, one of the main stars of this movie. He did a great job. So go see that this weekend, and I'll have a review posted up probably on Thursday or Friday for that. I also saw Lucy, and I didn't like it that much. I didn't have time to.
Which one?
Lucy.
I'm not a movie guy. I wish I knew what it is. I'm just not a movie guy.
It came out last Friday too. It has Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman, and it's Luc Besson, or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He's a French director that did The Fifth Element and The Professional and various other movies. I liked all the other movies I've seen by him, but this one was just kind of dumb, and I didn't have time to write a proper review for it, so there's my review.
Great review. As soon as I get back to Tampa, I'm going to get my Netflix turned back on because I screwed up one of my accounts. And then I'm going to watch more of The League, which is like one of my favorite sitcoms. So with that said, good night, shit sippers.
And good night. We'll be back next Monday at 7.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.